So if you want to, if you think you can bend her arm, she'll tell you what it is, but she's pretty tough. So, all right, lots of good news. As you see David and the Lion Rappel, we're leaving. That is their last Sunday. We sang to them at 10 o'clock. They are moving. Elaine heads up our sewing circle. They are moving this week to New Orleans area. David's family lives there. We're going to have Nancy Lothrop moving this week to Hudson, Florida, close by here, but near Tampa, to be near her daughter. And Bill and Janet Hakala, who did the Worship Without Walls ministry and online, they are moving to Utah to be close in Salt Lake City to their son. So sorry to have you go, but we're grateful you're going to be closer to your family support system. So we're allowed to sing again, so we are going to sing to the happy birthday song. We will miss you, Nancy, okay? Okay, on three. One, two, three. We will miss you, Nancy. You better visit. We will miss you, Nancy. Visit, visit. We will miss you, dear Nancy. We will miss you, Nancy. Give her a hand. Farewell and Godspeed. And you and David and Elaine, Bill and Janet weren't here today, are the first time we've sang to anybody in a year. We have not sang happy birthday or happy anniversary, so that's pretty cool, isn't it? Good way to send off. Glad you could make, and glad you got to at least see the sanctuary. So, and stay with us online, okay? All right, we're going to take a quiet minute to prepare our hearts and minds for worship. We begin worship today on page 2 of your worship folder with the apostolic greeting. The grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We come together as well in confession. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, in this Easter season, we continue to answer our Savior and Lord Jesus' call to struggle against sin, death, and the devil, all that keeps us from loving God our Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and our neighbors. This is the struggle to which we were called at holy baptism. Within the community of the Holy Catholic Church, Jesus never wearies of forgiving sin and granting his peace of reconciliation with God our Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and our neighbors. Let us confess our sin against God, our Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and our neighbors, and by confessing our sin, be reconciled with them. Amen. Merciful God, our Father, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. At times we sin against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we do and by what we do not do. At times we do not love you with our whole heart, mind, and soul. At times we do not love our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God our Father, who is rich in grace and mercy in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, loves us even when we are dead in our sin, and makes us alive together in the body of Christ. By grace we are saved. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, our Father, continue to strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus lives in our hearts, minds, souls, and in our actions, words, and deeds through faith. Amen. We continue there with the prayer of the day, praying it together. Let us pray. O God, our Father, you give your only Son, Jesus, our Savior and Lord, to suffer death on his cross for our redemption. And by his crucifixion, death, and glorious resurrection, you deliver us from the power of sin, death, and hell. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, continue to make us die every day to our sin, so that we live with Jesus forever in the joy of his death and resurrection. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the prayer for the world, praying it together. Tiger, yeah, you good. You don't want, sometimes people turn into the inserts. Yes, here at the top of. Yeah, you got it. Good. Let us pray. Let us pray for all victims of any forms of violence, terror, human trafficking, and all displaced peoples. all victims of ethnic, racial, gender, sexual, political, and religious discrimination and violence, all victims of natural disasters or human-made disasters, all victims of war or warlike activity, conflict, oppression, and strife, including in Afghanistan, Syria, and Yemen. Gracious God, our Father of healing and wholeness, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bring relief in every way you see fit for those impacted by natural disasters, human-made disasters, conflicts, persecutions, and wars. Empower all peoples to reach out to those impacted through the healing power of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we admit our human frailties and recognize we live in a fallen creation. Restore us each and every way as you see fit, so that your will is done. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. You'll find today's gospel in your folder insert titled Lessons and Financials at the top. The gospel is on page 2, St. John's Gospel for the day, and we begin with the introduction. In language that claims the 23rd Psalm as his own, Jesus teaches that he is the one true, great, good shepherd who cares for his sheep. Jesus teaches that he will die for his sheep, and Jesus teaches that he will also overcome death for the same sheep. Alleluia! Christ is crucified and risen. Christ is crucified and risen indeed. Alleluia! The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said in teaching a large gathering of people, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches the sheep and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep and my own know me, just as my Father knows me and I know my Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to my fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason my Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes my life from me, but I lay my life down of my own accord. I have power to lay down my life, and I have power to take my life up again. I have received this command from my Father. Alleluia! Christ is crucified and risen. Christ is crucified and risen indeed. Alleluia! The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Great Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to be here this Sunday as we conclude 4 worship services that have been going on for more than a year, upwards of almost 60. We're grateful for the opportunities to grow worship during the pandemic, including the Worship Without Walls parking lot ministry. But we're also very joyful and ecstatic to know that we'll be moving in as the pandemic still goes on, but vaccinations and safety protocols and things are better than they were. We can move in safely at 9 and 10:30 and have our Sabbath once again collectively together and still be online for those who aren't ready to be in in-person worship, which didn't exist before the pandemic on Facebook Live and taped and YouTube taped. We're grateful for these opportunities. We see your hand in all of it as we honor you and worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And yet you call us through the Holy Spirit's power to be your Son's gospel, good shepherd news, in our actions, words, and our deeds. And we leave this place, embolden us to do so always as the ministries and missions for Jesus during the pandemic and this congregation have also blossomed and grown. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Great to be with you today. As I told Bob, this is the final countdown. And you gotta admit, when we were halfway into this thing, even 2/3 or 3/4, we didn't know if we'd see this day of going to 2. Well, we had talked about keeping the 4 rolling and moving the 3 indoor in here and keeping the parking lot. I looked at my sandy shoes at 10 o'clock and I said to my shoes, no more. You don't think my shoes have a life of their own? But it was pretty mucky out there today, so But think about it, how good God is. In the state of Florida, with all the heat and all the rain and the cold weather, which can be frigid at times for us who have been here long enough, we did not have to cancel Worship Without Walls once in a year. Today's 1 year, yes. And there was enough thunder and lightning here, but it started to break. So God is good all the time, and otherwise we wouldn't be able to put the equipment out there whether or not I got wet. So, but it's good to be with you. Today is what I like to call every Easter season. It's always the fourth Sunday. This is what I call theological gear shift Sunday in the Easter season. The reason I say that is every year during the season of Easter, and the first three Sundays, we have a resurrection text, and we celebrate Christ crucified, and yet most importantly, Christ risen. We did that this year on Easter Sunday morning with the Gospel of St. Mark. The second Sunday was the Gospel of St. John, and last Sunday was the Gospel of St. Luke. But every year, we move into this final four seasons of Easter, into the Gospel of St. John. In fact, into this chapter 10, every year, it's broken into three parts. And then we study three different parts of 15 and 17 coming up. The gear shift is all of those are pre-crucifixion and resurrection. So you may not like my theology of theological gear shift, but you have to ask yourself, why are we doing this during the season of Easter? We only have three for the resurrection, and we have four for pre-crucifixion and resurrection. You should be intrigued. Your brain should be going, wow, why would the people put the lectionary together want us to do this? Well, there's a reason, and we're going to get to it, because Christ is always teaching about his crucifixion and resurrection. But today, in all the fourth Sundays of the Easter season, they want us to know this one fact about him theologically, that he is the great true shepherd, the one great true shepherd. He's claiming Psalm 23 today. That's why it's in there. If you'd like to read it, it's in there as the psalm for the day. He's claiming his kingdom as the great good shepherd, and it's incredible good news. But it's chapter 10 in this gospel, and you should be even more intrigued. Well, okay, the whole chapter is sometimes called the great good shepherd chapter of St. John's gospel. If you read the whole thing, it's what Jesus' language is. But why here? Why now? Am I the only one that's intrigued? Why did Jesus start teaching that in chapter 10 according to St. John's gospel? It's because of what has just happened in chapter 9 that has led him to teach this great good news in a lengthy dialogue, the entire chapter of 10. One of the things that I love about St. John's Gospel is not just his theology, which is really deep and complex in many ways, but also very enlightening. I can't prove this, but theologically to me, he seems to be the one gospel writer that writes in first-hand account. He seems to be there at many of these events. We're going to look at chapter 9 in a healing miracle. There are plenty of healing miracles in all four Gospels. This one is in incredible detail, as if John was there through the whole story. In fact, it takes up most of chapter 9. Most of the healing miracles in the other three Gospels, they happen. Someone has been healed by Jesus' word or touch. And then right in rapid-fire succession, they move on to something else Jesus is doing. Not in St. John's Gospel. Are you intrigued? I was. The story that happens is a man who was born blind. In this day and age, in the context, if you had an infirmity, such as being blind, whether later in life or from birth, you were considered a sinner, unclean, dirty, and an outcast. Can you imagine how this guy's parents felt when they realized as an infant babe that their son couldn't see? He was never allowed to be part of society. He was never allowed to be anywhere near the temple or the synagogue. In fact, he was taught, and his parents were taught, and the people were taught by all the religious leaders, that he was born blind because of his sins or the sins of his ancestors. This is the day that Jesus comes, and he's going to turn that upside down. That man is apparently an adult of some sort of a decent age, and he's become a beggar. The only way he can survive is to sit where people gather and ask for food and sustenance. And they all know him in the town right there around Jerusalem. But Jesus has come to town. Things are going to change. Aren't we glad? When he finds out Jesus is coming, there's a large crowd that's trying to gather around Jesus. They're excited. The Jesus of Nazareth is coming, the prophet, and what he knows. And he starts to shout out, "Have mercy on me! Have mercy on me!" The crowd, considering him a sinner and an outcast, tells him to be quiet. And he shouts even louder. And it gets Jesus' attention. And Jesus stops. "What would you have me do for you?" "I want to see." Jesus wouldn't have needed to do this in the parking lot at 9 o'clock. He spits into the ground to make mud. And he puts it on this man's eyes. And then he says a curious thing to him. "Go to the pool of Siloam," which is right outside, right around the temple in Jerusalem, "and wash yourself." This man on faith goes. Think about the extensiveness of this story. How does someone who wasn't there know all these details? But the story doesn't end there. The man goes. Imagine being an adult who has never seen anything in your life. And he washes as Jesus commanded him. And he can see. And he starts shouting excitedly, "I can see, I can see." And the whole town becomes an uproar. "Is that the guy that used to sit there and beg?" "Oh, no, that's not him." "Oh, yes, it is him." And Jesus had told him after he could see, after washing, to go show yourself. And he meets with the religious authorities. One of the things that St. John's Gospel is also good about is reminding us that not all religious authorities were against Jesus. Completely through his life, we know the Pharisee Nicodemus was a follower of Jesus. In fact, went and got his body in one of the gospel accounts after Jesus was crucified. Well, this man shows up and there's a dispute among the religious leaders about whether he was really ever born blind. Can you imagine there's a dispute among religious leaders, including in the church? This is cracking me up. They're divided. Oh, some say he was, some say he wasn't. And they say, "How did this happen to you?" "Jesus of Nazareth, he spit into the ground. I didn't see him, and he put mud on my eyes, and he told me to go wash, and now I can see." They send him away. Let's get some more facts. Sound like somebody maybe knows this story, was maybe on hand. They go and gather his parents, and they make his parents come. And so his parents show up. They're scared to death. Scared to death. "Was your son born blind?" "Yes, he is." "How can he see?" And they know it's Jesus and they refuse to say, because if they claim that Jesus is the Messiah or is able to do that, they're going to get kicked out of the synagogue. It says so in the gospel. So they say this, "He's of age, ask him." This story is getting very elaborate, isn't it? So they bring him back. "How did this happen to you? You say that you were born blind and now you can see." I love this guy. I got to find out his name. I got to meet him. "You wanted me to... I already told you how this happened. It was Jesus of Nazareth. He spit into the mud. It made my eyes see. I'm excited." The guy was like, "Great. You don't seem to think he's great." You're spellbound. Thank you, Shirley. Who is this man? I don't know, but he's got to be a great prophet. And then he seals his fate by saying that. "How dare you call him a prophet," some of them say. "The only prophet we have is Moses." And then this man, in his faith, speaks up. "Oh, this is really a unique thing in the history of the world. No one has ever been born blind and been able to see, but all I know is this man, Jesus, spit into the ground, made mud, and now I can see. Do you want to be one of his followers?" And they throw him out of the synagogue for life. He had never been allowed in the synagogue. He was ritually unclean, told he was a sinner. Can you see how Jesus is getting to turning the kingdom upside down as the great good shepherd gathering in the flock? This man had never been gathered in. Jesus not only physically healed him, he told him that all along he wasn't a sinner because his eyes were blind. He was a sinner because he's a sinner, but he's part of the kingdom of God. This is exciting to get to the text. But this story isn't done at 9. Jesus goes and looks for him. Somebody had to have been with Jesus to be able to record the finishing of the story. He finds this man and says to him, "I hear what's happened to you. The guy, of course, can see. Can you imagine? I think at this point he could care less. And Jesus says, do you believe in the Son of Man? Which is, do you believe in the Messiah? That's what the language of the day meant. Yes, I do. Tell me who it is. And Jesus smiles at him. Remember, he has never seen Jesus before. The one who made you see. And Jesus hears him say this. Lord. He calls him what he is. He has returned him to society. And he has told him that all along in his life he was part of the kingdom of heaven. Marginalized because he was blind and a beggar. But Jesus spoke all this time to teach. The last thing Jesus says to him, I know that you physically can see, but I've come to help the spiritually blind. And at that moment, some of those leaders are still there. And what do they say? You're not talking about us, are you? And only then does Jesus launch into this text, initially saying, I am the gate, and all who want to come to my Father as the flock must enter through me, the gate. And he gets to verse 18. They're all listening, along with the disciples and the man who could see. This is one continual story about the great good shepherd. And he gets there and he says, I have the authority to lay down my life and to take it up again. He's claiming the Messiahship. No human being can lay down their life of their own accord and raise their life up because he's the great good shepherd. And this is incredible good news. How excited that man must have been. The good shepherd went out of his way to find me, to tell me what I always knew. I was always part of the kingdom. A lost sheep who's been brought into the fold, much to the chagrin of those who don't like Jesus. That's what I was preaching about last week. Prior to his crucifixion, resurrection, and his resurrection, he is giving peace and power. The pow! Opening our minds to the scriptures. How great good news this is that he's the great good shepherd. Always gathering us, even when we sin, saying, return to me. I will forgive you and keep you in my flock. I love you that much. My Father sent me to gather everyone to me, not to condemn anyone. Now go witness. Pow! Peace, power. Understand the scriptures, explain them to others, and witness. This is exciting time. Jesus doesn't need us to do any of this, but he asks us. But he teaches in verse 16 something that's actually quite curious. This is before his death and resurrection, even though he's teaching about it. He says, there are others who are not yet part of my flock. I must gather them in. That means everyone. But he also is saying that he's going to die and rise again. So without saying it, guess what? He knew he would ascend to his Father. Guess who's called to go gather the sheep into the flock now? You may be sad you came to church today because that message is for me and for you and all of us. Jesus doesn't need us to do any of this. This is a great calling. I give you my peace and my power. I've helped you understand that I am your great good shepherd. Now go and witness, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words and the actions and the deeds. Knowing that, as I always read the scriptures before I leave on Sunday, whatever the gospel text is, usually I know them anyway, but I always refresh my memory. The Holy Spirit can, too much to your dismay, work with me during the week. Don't be so agreeable, Linda. I was looking for instances of Jesus as the great good shepherd. And man, I saw him. One of them was Friday. Dan Currington, God bless him, a true Christian from Currington Contracting, who we're blessed to be associated with, was here. The cross, when we stood in the doorway here, was up high enough that the speakers cut off the top of the cross. And we asked them if they would lower it, which is now a big job. They had to bring in scaffolding. There were three of them. But Dan Currington, owner of the company along with his brothers, does that himself. It was a wonderful day. There was just enough wire there to lower it the appropriate distance without rewiring it. Do you see God's handiwork? They were done, and the crew was training with Ryan from Mary Music on the sound system. And I stood in the doorway here by myself, marveling, and Dan joined me. It was just me and Dan Currington. And he is just gazing at the cross, and he has a big grin. devout man of faith. I said, I want to thank you on behalf of this congregation because you have walked with us lockstep basically since we bought this property for the Lord. And then you came and his brother did most of the talking, but the Holy Spirit guided us to choose you as our faith-based contractor. And he said, no, you don't need to thank us. We need to thank you for hiring us. I said, no, that's not true. I said, we need to thank you because of you working with us with your skill set, which you know came from the Holy Spirit. You are not just a contractor. You are a faith-based Christian contractor who's building churches so that Jesus' peace, power, the scriptures can be opened and the witness can occur, and that section of worship and useful space has become part of that. And I swear to you, he almost started to cry. I don't know if anybody's ever told him that his calling isn't just a profession. His calling is faith-based gift. And oh, by the way, we don't have the numbers yet, but it's coming. They're going to come in significantly under budget. Barb said it, not me. Do you want to say it louder? Because of a Christian standing in a doorway. And I told him this, and I volunteered all of you. And that never happens around here. I said, yes, I'm good to think I'm not Pinocchio, correct? I said, I want to tell you this. Anytime you have anybody who's thinking about hiring you as a contractor, you send them to us. He builds homes with his business, their business, and churches. And I said, I know you're not down here in South Marion as much. They deal mainly in Ocala. I said, but you put us on your website, and you send anybody through those doors, and we will glaringly and gloatingly tell you that they're faith-based people. They're honest. They do it for Christ. Hire them. That meant a ton to him. Because he's done this building for the Lord and for us. He understands who the great good shepherd is. And there'll be more people who come here who feel the peace of Christ, the power of Christ, who understand the scriptures maybe a little better and go out and witness in the world. Amen and hallelujah. In that great good news, the word about us as a congregational body has been out for a long time. Some of you who go back to our time at St. John might remember a group that had a wonderful title. I always liked it. The Lake Weir Crazy Group. That was the Alcoholics Anonymous group that met at Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. Recently, I found out that they are no longer able to worship over there, or excuse me, to meet over there. It's been going on for quite a while. I didn't know that until recently. Well, the Holy Spirit inspired one of the women who leads it to contact Carol Sonello, who is our AA coordinator. We already have an AA meeting here on Fridays at 5, and we have one Thursdays at 10 o'clock. Carol oversees all of it. Kathy's the name of the woman, and Carol got her email to me. They have requested to regroup and come here. We haven't been there since January of 2016. So ask yourself, why would they remember us? Because they felt the power of Christ in us, the peace of Christ. They felt the scriptures because the building was open to them, and they felt our witness. Council met. The answer is yes. They start the first Wednesday of May. Can you imagine not being able to meet during a pandemic when you struggle with substance abuse? They're going to tell everybody, well, that happened fast. We asked and it's done. Come on in May. And those doors will be open for them. And Jesus, the great good shepherd, will be standing here welcoming them here in this then-to-be fellowship hall with round tables. Peace, power, opening of the scriptures, welcome and witness. This is exciting. And they remembered us from way back. That's over 5 years ago, folks. In that great good news, I purposely didn't tell you about something that's in the bulletin today. It's an insert. It's new. It's from Kay Bertzik and Fellowship. You know we ask you to be servant volunteers and do whatever the Holy Spirit is calling to you around here. This one is incredibly important for different reasons. Because of not having food served here, we have not had celebrations of life with a meal following to be safe. We're hoping to do the one for John Clee in June. Kay is regrouping with her people. This is a request to bake. You do not want me doing that. To help set up or take down. To join the fellowship team, if only for those celebrations of life, which I've done over 130, if not 150. This is incredibly good shepherd good news, because as many years ago, people used to witness and really work hard at witnessing during Christmas and Easter, because that's when people either unchurched or falling away from the church felt called back. That isn't true anymore. People who don't go to church, don't know anything about the church, have fallen away from the church, show up for two occasions: weddings and celebrations of life. This is a golden opportunity for them to hear what Jesus says. I lay down my life of my own accord, and I take it up of my own accord. So that means death has no dominion over you. And I'm telling you, it happens, because when I was down in South Florida to celebrate Bert and Vera Kinsler's life, there were 25 approximately people there, and three of us were churched. But they heard the good news, some of them for the first time in their lives, that death has no dominion over Bert and Vera, very faithful people. This is a great time to grant the peace of Christ, the power of his death and resurrection, to open the scriptures for them, that is truth, and he is the great good shepherd, and to witness to it. And be excited. That's why we call them celebrations of life. This is exciting to get these things back going again. On behalf of you as a congregation, when the pandemic started, I don't mean this self-serving, but I decided to take all the risk that I could for your benefit. I became your altar guild. I became your greeter. I became your communion assistant. Essentially, I became your soundboard along with Mike and Bob and George. And I became your choir. I assumed a lot of hats. The idea always being that if we were going to stay open and do four worship services, that I would be your only point of contact to keep you safe. And I'm just being honest with you, that means I put myself at risk for a year. I just got vaccinated. That's what God called me to do for his son. But I'm grateful for those of you who have signed up to be the altar guild, to greet, to be communion assistants, to join the choir, to run the soundboard. Because you see this hat? It's gone. At 12:15 today. And you don't realize how important that is to me. I love serving with you. I love to see the joy you get out of serving the Lord's altar. I love to listen to the choir music. It's a huge part of who I am, even though I don't sing in the choir. I love to be there serving at the Lord's altar with communion assistants, because I see your passion. I love to see you greet and welcome people coming into the church. And I love to see running the audio visuals and ministry. I'm fascinated by people. I still have a dumb phone. You don't want me running that thing. My only connection for a year, God bless him, has been this guy right here. So welcome back. And may I never have to wear that hat anymore. Because I'm grateful to give it back to you where it always needed to be, but out of safety. It wasn't able to be there. But it's back! I watched the great good shepherd and how he works in his world and how he calls us to grant his peace and power. And the scriptures, even in times of violence, and what they call us to and the truth of them, and to witness to that. I know what's happened with the trial in Minneapolis, and I know the verdict, and I know that George Floyd is dead and we can't bring him back. although I believe he's in the Lord's very loving hands. I watch what goes on in the world, and I appreciate the peaceful protesting and the calls for change to all people of color, all marginalized people, which includes the poor, women and children, everyone in this country and around the world. There are more marginalized than there are not marginalized. But I always feel in the calling of that, the great good shepherd says, so what are you doing about it? I appreciate when you peacefully protest. I appreciate when you really want proper police reform and the respect that police officers and EMS and all our first responders deserve. I appreciate those things. What are you doing about it? This church, you can answer a lot. If you're a woman or a child and you're living under domestic violence, that is massive abuse, massively against the gospel. But they know about us at the shelter. And they feel your peace and your power. They feel the scriptures. They feel the great good shepherd. And they feel our witness as we speak out against those things and lift them up and talk about them. But we're doing something about it. If it wasn't for the pandemic, I wouldn't be delivering food to St. Teresa's Roman Catholic Church. I now have my own bin. I've mentioned that to you. They know that we here are able to support the Domestic Violence Center, the shower ministry in Ocala, and now they pull things aside for me. Every week now, I get paper products, plates, paper towels, napkins, toilet paper for the Domestic Violence Center so they don't have to spend money on those items, hygiene items. And they're so excited to make that place feel like family for the kids. I now get wonderful Entenmann's cakes, coffee cakes, cupcakes, chocolate chip cookies. They love me when I show up at the Domestic Violence Center. They're not going to buy those things, but they don't have to. Because we're taking a stand in an actual way of saying, not only do we pray that it stops, Good Shepherd, we're delivering your peace and your power, your scriptures of the truth, that you care for them and you're providing a safe haven with that wonderful place in Ocala in its witness. If we don't do those things and stand up against racism and marginalized people, I think Jesus is going to take that good shepherd staff and bonk us on the head. These words are from Jesus. They are true, and it's a great calling. There are other sheep who are not part of my fold. I must gather them in. But he says to us, gather them with me. It's exciting. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. We continue with the communion liturgy, which you'll find on page 4 of your bulletin, the backside cover of your worship folder. I hope you're even more joyous at this table next week than you always are, as you'll be receiving real bread and a real cup of wine or grape juice. And I guess I'm the only one excited about that, Mr. Dunbar. And it's safe enough, think about this, to gather at Jesus' chancel, altar, communion rail. Don't tell me you're not going to be excited standing up there next Sunday and gazing up at his cross of victory, dressed in resurrection white. Holy, mighty, and merciful Lord, heaven and earth are full of your glory. In great love you sent to us, Jesus, your Son, who reached out to heal the sick and suffering, to preach good news to the poor, and who on the cross opened his arms to all. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat. This is my body. It is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, our Lord Jesus took the cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Remembering, therefore, his death, resurrection, and ascension, we await his coming in glory. Pour out the Holy Spirit, that by this holy communion we may know the unity we share with all your people in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet of the great good shepherd, for all is now ready. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ continue to strengthen us and keep us in his grace. The power of the healing Holy Spirit now and forever. Amen. On the backside of your worship folder on page 4, midway through, you'll see the blessing, and we pray it together. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Lord is worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Process out into the Lord's world with the doxology. Try to remember to start wearing your name tags again. If you can't find them, let me know, because remember, I know all of your names. Most likely, your communion assistants that will be serving with me may not, and we'd like to address you by name at the Lord's altar. Continue to bring Jesus Christ, the great good shepherd, to all people today and every day, granting not only his peace, but his power, the opening of his holy scriptures as we witness. We will, with thanks to God. Amen. Have a fabulous week sharing his great gospel good news. Walk around the sanctuary if you like.